Thank you, Lord, for your presence this morning. Your people worship you. We adore you. Bow our hearts before you. You're so precious, Lord, and your spirit poured out so freely, Lord, your gifts. We receive them this morning: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Just receive all the good things that pertain to life and godliness. Pour them out, Lord. Your people are so thirsty for you, so hungry for your goodness, your loving kindness, your tender mercies. Father, we just ask your blessing and fresh oil and fresh anointing on Pastor Shannon as she comes with the word. Would you lavish her? Would you lavish her, Lord, with your love? Because she loves you so much.
Yeah,
so bless us as she feeds the sheep this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Do we have a PowerPoint? Okay. We are thankful for technology. God has given us amazing things, but sometimes technology outsmarts us. And so we were blessed this week to have Jason come in and work with Rebecca and kind of get things back in order again. I just want to start by thanking everybody who participated in the Bethlehem Walk over the last 3 days. And we want to thank Liz for being our organizer and director in that. Again, the ladies who did the kitchen, the people, all of our actors and all of the people who came to help set up and take down, and the lighting and the music and all that went on. And we just want to thank you for that effort to bless our community with the true story of Christmas. And again, we just, we're a blessed people who have good news to share. And again, to take it past what the world has to offer for Christmas and what they've done with it versus the fullness of what the Lord has done with it. Amen. Anyhow, as we have been looking at Advent, I am so blessed, as Wendy shared with the children this morning, the music that Rebecca, the song choice, that came together to celebrate what we're looking at this morning. By the way, so Haley, I have a question for you. What color is the candle that we lit today? Did you know, pink, we're wearing pink today because of the Advent? Did you choose that particular, or just it was your favorite? It's all sparkly, too. I noticed that when she was up there. And sparkly pink, joy. And we're talking about the arrival of joy. We've been looking at the different parts of Advent. Well, we need to recognize we're not, we've never been a church that follows a calendar of what we preach and what we teach. But a few years ago, we started doing the Advent wreath. And it took a lot of people back to their childhood and that. And it's really good that we don't just stop and say, it's Christmas season. But we're taking it and recognizing what we have in this wonderful story of Christmas that is history, not just a story. It's the truth. And we start early enough to focus in on all the good things that we have. What has arrived for us? The word Advent means the coming, the arrival. And so as we look at the arrival, our first arrival was the arrival of hope. And we looked at the seeds of hope that were given to us. How many of you know what's another word that we use for the word of God? I just said it. Seed. Seed, the word of God is seed, and so the prophets spoke words of hope. The seeds were planted in the hearts of people, looking forward to the promised one of God. Last week, we looked at the prophetic word being fulfilled in Jesus as our peace. He's our Prince of Peace. And that he comes to bring peace not as the world did and does, which is that idea of the lack of conflict and war. His peace brings completeness. His peace brings whole. His shalom. He is the Prince of Shalom. And it supersedes all circumstances and situations because it's about the finished work of Jesus. Which brings us to today, the arrival of joy. And oh, what joy. Why joy? What is it about the Christmas season and Christmas Day that is so joyful? Now, I'm going to admit that some of us maybe have to walk back a few years to have that sense of the joy we once had at Christmas. Am I right? Sometimes Christmas can become something else, but it's supposed to be a season of joy. So go back there if that's what you need to do. And what was so joyful about Christmas for you? And hopefully it still is. Is it about the gifts? Hey, do you guys like getting gifts at Christmas? Yeah. Is it about, I love this, we were talking about the wonder and awe of all the beautiful Christmas decorations. You know, as glitzy and bobbly as it can be, it still kind of makes you go, wow. I love walking. And let's face it, it's way better than what we were seeing in October. Right? Do you know what I think about when I think about all the people who decorate for Halloween? It does not take a whole lot of, now, I don't want to say effort and energy because it does in a sense, but to make things look icky and ghoulish and to crap it and it doesn't take a whole lot to do that, right? Decay, it just, but when we take and we decorate with the lights and the Christmas and the lighting and the joy, and we do that, other than, I'm going to say, I think our poor little Christmas star on the top of our tree is doing a nosedive. But the truth is, it's coming down. Yeah, the light is coming down. But you know, Scripture tells us that the people in darkness have seen a great light. And so when we look at the lights that light up, for whatever reason, other people put those lights up, we know. Originally, it was to represent the light of the world that came into this. The light of the world that came into the world. And his name is?
Jesus.
Okay, there's a splendor in it all. How about the Christmas music? And I'm not talking Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or Jingle Bells. When we start singing the old carols that are full of the truth of Jesus, and you're going to see at the end, Rebecca, same, Spirit of God, speaking the same thing to both of us. How about the Christmas plays? How many of you are planned this afternoon to go and hear the Christmas choir at Messiah? How many of us have been a part of Christmas pageants for kids in schools and whatever? What about that happy spirit that's in folks that leads to them to have compassion and generosity towards the less fortunate? Seems to just grow during this season. Anybody going to do some feasting? What is it about these joyous, grand celebration? What is it that we're really celebrating? And there were shepherds living out in fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." Let's just look at what this angel just declared to those lowly shepherds. Oops, I think I got ahead of myself here. Just see if we can do it. First, there was good news. And there is a cause that will come from this good news. Who is the cause? Jesus is the cause. And what will happen? There's an effect from the cause. Great joy for just a few of us. For all people. Great joy, not just simple joy or, hey, that feels good. Great joy, which is for all people. Why? Because a Savior. Whoops. The Messiah. The Lord. How many of us recognize, excuse me, still a little bit of the winter snuffs. How many of us recognize the need for a Savior? In fact, it said basically the older we get, the more we recognize that, the more we see our limitations. But all people need a Savior, and here he is, Jesus, the Messiah. Now, I'm going to ask Liz. Liz, can I get you to start setting up that video? This is great news. Good news. It's good news that we have a Savior. It is good news for all people. Or all times, you're right. And the effect? Great joy. Great joy. All right, see, there's good news that will cause great joy for all people. But sometimes we don't feel like the Lord is speaking to us. It's not about me. I get left out of everything. But the good news of the gospel is that everyone has a Savior. And his name is Jesus. And he came down from heaven to earth, born as a babe in the manger. He gets us. He knows what it's like to be in human flesh. And he gave himself. And yes, we look at the little baby in the manger at Christmas, but we forget he came with a purpose. The perfect Lamb of God came with a purpose. He is Savior. And he gave himself as a sacrifice at the cross. His perfect, sinless, precious blood provided forgiveness for sins for all of us, yours and mine. And you and I don't have to do a thing or give anything. We couldn't do a thing or pay anything for our own sins. So Jesus did it for us. I want you to think of this. It's kind of like someone doing a whole Christmas dinner thing for you. I mean everything. The decorations, the table spread, the food there. And all you have to do is accept the invitation. Sorry. All you have to do is come and enjoy what he's done. See, the invitation has gone out. I give you great news that will cause great joy. You've been invited. For all people, a Savior. And you have the freedom to choose. Or you also have the freedom to not choose. If you choose Jesus, you're in. You receive the gift of eternal life. But the opposite is also true. If you don't accept the invitation, the free gift, no eternal life. The choice is now yours. Because God has given. He's made the preparation. He's sent the invitation. He's made the way through his son, Jesus. Do you remember the moment you first accepted Jesus and that invitation, and you invited him into your heart as your Lord and Savior? At that very moment, all your sins were forgiven. Your past, your present, and your future. And in the day that he did this for you, everything of your sins was in the future. He's taken care of it through his blood. You are born again. You are a new creation in Christ. You do not have to try to get forgiveness. You have forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. Good news! And it should be stirring in our hearts with great joy. We shouldn't be sitting looking like this. We should be dancing and celebrating and enjoying the Savior has been born unto us. A son was given unto us. The child is born. All your sins forgiven. New creation. We don't have to try to be forgiven. We are forgiven. It's now yours and mine. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. We can't work super hard to get God to do anything. We have to receive it. And it's not because of anything we've done. We've got to remember that. We love to do and give to the Lord, but it's not because we're looking for him to give something back. It's because we know what he's already done on our behalf. God's beautiful, rich, and glorious grace to us, his unmerited, unearned, and undeserved favor, the free gift of grace, and all of it is because of Jesus. Our Savior. A Savior has been born to you. Jeremiah gives a prophetic word. He says, "And the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel." Now, remember, when we're talking about Israel now, are we sons and daughters of Abraham because of faith? Then when we can add our name in there. "And with the people of Judah, it will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by hand and led them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenants, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord." Ever broke a covenant with God? Ever done something that what he's, you know, wouldn't make him happy? Says, but that covenant that was is not what is today. "This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbors or say to one another, 'Know God,' because they will all know me, from the least of them," those lowly shepherds, "not being left out, to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more." How often? What about tomorrow? What about when you screw up and you recognize it, and is he going to sit there and remember it? Rub your face in it? Bad kitty? Bad puppy? You know. No more! No more will he remember our sins. We have new life. We are new creations. We belong to the kingdom of God now. Our papa loves us, and we have a Savior who brought us there. Listen to what Romans says here. This is the New Living Translation. "Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven." Oh, praise God. "Whose sins are put out of sight." Yes, the joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. I got one amen. Are you guys all pondering this deeply? Again, what candle did we light this morning? The joy candle. Come on, folks. The reality of what we have should be affecting us. There is a cause. His name is Jesus, and he has removed the other cause in our life, sin, and we are in a new place. The effect should be joy in our lives, in spite of any circumstance we find ourselves in. Why? Why? Because joy is an attitude. Joy is a choice that we, God's people, choose to adopt. And our joy is not, and it's because of the goodness of God, and it is not determined by our struggles. Did you know your joy isn't determined by your struggles? We sometimes say, well, if it's good, when life is good, then I'll be joyful. Well, I'll tell you, in spite of what goes on this side of the earth, you got it good in the Lord, no matter what the struggles are, because your joy is not about your struggles, it's about your destiny. And your destiny is eternal life with God. Yes, be joyful and your life will be good, because you're always going to be looking heavenward and at what he's done. Now, I want to be honest, it doesn't mean we ignore that stuff happens in our life. It doesn't mean we don't have times where we're down and low. But you know what? We're told to encourage one another, to remind each other, to pray for one another, to cry with each other when we're in those sad moments, but also to rejoice. I love the scripture says, we no longer mourn as the world does. We do mourn, but not as the world does. When we lose a loved one and we know they've gone to be with Jesus, we mourn because we're missing them. But praise God, we know we're going to see them again. We don't mourn as the world does. I want to read this scripture to you. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submitted to us in your name. Now remember, they went out. Jesus sent them out. They went out preaching and teaching and healing and ministering to the people. Signs and wonders are following them. Even the demons submitted to them. And listen to what Jesus says. Well, first he tells them, you know what, I saw Satan fall. And here's why. Because they all of a sudden understood the authority they had in his name. When we understand the authority that we have in the name of Jesus, not our authority, it's his authority. Well, it's given authority to us. His authority, and we have Holy Spirit as we have power. And sometimes we forget where we are, or we don't understand. We're trying to understand with this, as opposed to saying, I'm not going to lean on my understanding. I'm just going to agree with the word of God. I'm going to stand in faith. Jesus does say this, though. How many of you would love to lay hands on people and see them recover, see signs and wonders and miracles and all of that? How many of you think you would be joyful? Amen. Here's what Jesus said. However, do not rejoice that the Spirit submitted to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So whether you do see it or you don't see it, doesn't mean don't be joyful, but here's the true joy. That your name is written in the books of heaven. Eternal life is yours. Paul is talking to the Philippians, and he says this, whose names are written in the book of life. He's talked about a lot of things, and then he comes along and he says this in verse, that's the tail end of verse 3. In verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, oh, let's rejoice. Woo-hoo, let's rejoice. No, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say it, rejoice. What is he teaching us here? What is Paul trying to get across to us? That life is good and wonderful all the time? No, he's just saying, listen, you need to start a habitual thing with rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. Sometimes life sucks. But guess what we do? We're going to rejoice. Not that this is, I thank you, Lord, that you brought victory on over this in my life. And I'm going to rejoice in your name. I haven't seen it yet, but I know how good you are. Are you hearing me, guys online? I know how good you are, Lord. And I don't care if I'm sitting in and I'm speaking to a specific group of people right now getting dialysis. I'm still going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to rejoice in what he's done. Because, you know, one day we're all going to leave this earth. And we know where we're going. Or do you know where you're going? We want our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he's made a way. It is a free gift we can receive. But we have to receive it. The offer is there. The invitation is there. We have to receive. We invite him into our hearts. And as instantly as that, we're in. We're not like our little shepherds. Says, I get left out of everything. Well, come on. There's something that is for all people, and his name is Jesus. He's a Savior. And he's taken all the past, all the hurts, all the lies, the sins, whatever's gone on. And he took it to the cross for you and I. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Why? Because what we're going through is great? No, because of Jesus. Because unto us a Savior has been born. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. And listen to this. And the Prince, the peace, the shalom of God, that wholeness of God, which transcends all understanding. Don't try and get it figured out in your head. The Prince of Peace, the Prince of Shalom, who makes us whole, he will guard your heart and your mind. Amen? This is from Psalm. Well, we've got it there. He brought out his people with rejoicing, his chosen ones with shouts of joy. What has he brought you out of? He has brought us out of Egypt, out of those things of the world. We always know that Egypt is a type or a shadow of the world, and he has brought us out of that into his glorious light. Acts 13:52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Anybody know what was happening with these disciples? It would be Paul and Barnabas, Silas. Anybody know what's happening about Acts 13 with them? Take a wild guess. Jailed, yeah. Persecution. Because life was so good for them at that moment. If we wanted to put it in the worldly terms, life was suck for them at that moment. It wasn't good. It was, people were being mean to them. Their own people were being mean to them. Throwing them in prison, beating them up, throwing rocks at them. And yet, listen what it says here. The disciples were about a third full of joy. Filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Filled with joy. What do you think their thoughts were? And by the way, they didn't have all the other books. They had the Old Testament, but they didn't have all the New Testament books to read. They just had their experience with the Savior, with Jesus. And man, they couldn't wait to share the good news with people. They were filled to capacity with the joy and with the Holy Spirit. Isaiah writes prophetically the promise of God. The Lord those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing and everlasting praise. will be where? Hey, man. Whew. Do you see what's on your head? Just a little sprinkle of joy. You are crowned with joy. And everlasting joy, not just joy, everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and how many of you think you can outrun God's joy? You want to try? Lots of us do. But it will overtake you. It will overtake them. And sorrow and